Millions of orphans, little boys and girls are growing up in our world today. All these orphans know are fear, loneliness. Many of them will never know what it's like to be held by a mother in a time when they're crying. Many of them will never know what it's like to be placed on the shoulders of a father. These children are growing up without a family. How big is this crisis? Let me read you some statistics. And these numbers are staggering. There are over 143 million orphans in the world today. 88 million live in Asia. 43 million live in sub-Saharan Africa. Maybe you're aware of the AIDS crisis. In 2003, 16 million children under 18 have become orphans as a result of AIDS. Every 14 seconds, a child loses a parent due to AIDS. Just in the time that we're gathered here, that means 250 children will have lost a parent because of AIDS. By 2010, the number of children orphaned by AIDS globally is expected to exceed 40 million. 2002, I had the privilege of going with a team from our church to Uganda. We went to a funeral of a lady in the church who had AIDS. And we saw firsthand the orphans that were left behind. I personally held orphans on that trip that I knew died weeks after our team had left. Got to know a pastor in Uganda who had died from AIDS a year or two later. What I remember about him is he was young, in his 20s, had two small kids, him and his wife. And what amazed me is that they also had six orphans in their home that they were taking care of. 1.2 million orphans are currently suffering under the oppression of forced prostitution. Talking recently to Susie Triplett, who's one of our Oak Mountain supported missionaries who lives in Bangkok. She was saying that there are 200,000 prostitutes in the city of Bangkok under the age of 12. So what goes on in your mind when you hear these statistics? What goes on in your heart maybe when you see the faces of these children? I personally know someone who has made it his life calling to be a voice for the fatherless, for the orphans. He's told me that he's going to enter into their world. He's going to pursue them, to protect them, provide for them. You see, you know this person also. His name is Abba Father. What I want to share this morning is a truth that seemingly is buried in Scripture. Many of us may have seen it, or maybe we just have completely overlooked it. Let's look at this hidden treasure and find out what is on the heart of God and what He wants us to do about it. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 10. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy 10 verses 14 through 19. Let's stand and listen to God. This is God speaking about Himself. So hear God's voice. Deuteronomy 10, verse 14. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set His affection on your forefathers and loved them. And He chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore. Do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods. He's Lord of lords. He's the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality, who accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. Let's pray. Father, I do pray, God, that you would quiet the voice of this world in our mind and in our heart this morning. God, reveal to us your character, your love, and Father, how we are to reflect it, how we are to be humbled by it, and how we are to act. So God, do please move, speak words among us. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks. You may be seated. We're going to talk about the least of these, the fatherless, the widow, the alien. What are we to believe and do as we consider this group of people? Three things. First of all, I think we are to reflect the Father's heart. If you look at verse 14, it says, "To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it." Verse 17 says, "For the Lord your God, He's God of gods. He's Lord of lords. He's the great God, mighty and awesome." So here is God revealing Himself of who He is, His attributes. And then He tells us about what matters to Him in verse 18. He defends the cause of the fatherless, the widow. He loves the alien. Give him food and clothing. First time I read this, it seemed kind of out of place. Here we are talking about God, about how strong and mighty is He. How He is God of gods, how He's Lord of lords. And what I expected to hear was how He walked among kings, how He established kingdoms, how He threw the stars in the sky. But in a twist, it's seemingly so, He says, "I'm a God who has done all of that. But there are a people that is close to me. The fatherless, the widows, the strangers." This isn't the only passage where the Lord speaks of a special concern for these people. Listen to these verses. Jeremiah 49:11, "Leave your orphans. I will protect their lives. Your widows too can trust in me." Psalm 146:9, "The Lord watches over the alien. He sustains the fatherless and the widow." Deuteronomy 14:28-29, "At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites, the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows may come and eat and be satisfied." Psalm 10:14, "You are the defender of orphans. Surely you will listen to their cries and comfort them. You will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed." Many times we read the Lord rebuking Israel for failing to take care of this group of people. Isaiah 1:23, "You do not defend the cause of the fatherless." Jeremiah 5:28, "They do not plead the case of the fatherless." Ezekiel 22:7, "They have oppressed the alien and mistreated the fatherless and the widow." How about the sin of Sodom? What would you say the sin of Sodom was? Ezekiel 16:49, "Now this was the sin of Sodom. She was arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy." You see, what do we know about God? We know God is passionate about the fatherless. He is passionate about the least of these. You see the faces of those children around the world. Why do you think God values them? First of all, they bear His image. They are image bearers of God. And second, God values them because they have no one to protect them on this earth. God says, "I will pursue them. I will provide for them. I will be a father to them." He calls us to do that also. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be imitators of God." Jesus said, "I do what I see my Father doing." Imitating God determines that we are to do what pleases God, what's on His heart, what matters to Him. Recently read a book called Fields of the Fatherless. Let me read an excerpt from that. He says, if you search the Bible from front to back, you'd find many issues close to God's heart. But you'd also notice three groups of people coming up again and again. They appear so many times, in fact, you have to conclude that God mentions them purposely to make sure they are at the top of our priority list. They are the orphans, the widows, and the strangers. What these people have in common is their desperate need of provision and protection. They are the weak, the underprivileged, the needy among us. Scripture mentions the importance of caring for these individuals more than 60 times. Clearly, the protection and well-being of this group are one of God's great and constant concerns. So much so, in fact, He actually defines who He is by His promises to them. What is God's heart when it comes to the orphans? This God cares about the least of these. So should we. Well, another truth that we are to believe that will help us in caring for orphans is, secondly, we are to remember your status. Remember your status, it says. Look at our passage in Deuteronomy 10. Verse 15 says, yet the Lord set His affection on your forefathers and loved them, and He chose you. I'm a Presbyterian pastor, so I can say this. Election is taught in Scripture. In fact, election is taught throughout the pages of Scripture. But the interesting thing that may be different from our understanding of choosing something, we choose things that are more valuable. We choose things that may be pleasing to the eye. God says, I choose things, in fact, that are undeserving. There is nothing within what I choose that would merit me choosing them. You see, God's heart, God's love is elevated when that which is chosen is undeserving. So who are we? If you know Christ today, what is your status before God? Your status is that God has chosen you. It says He sets His affection on you, and He loves you. Well, the second status we see is found in verse 19. Verse 19 says, and you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. That's what I loved about this passage, because it's so true of Scripture. It's like a good sandwich. I'm getting close to lunch. You guys may be getting hungry. You think about that. But a call to action is surrounded with an affirmation of who God is and who we are in Christ. This passage is no different. He says, you are aliens, for you yourself were once aliens. So what is our status if you know Christ? All of us, because of sin, were strangers to God. But now, if you know Christ, you have become a friend of God. You have become a member of His family. Why should we love the least of these? Because we are and we were the least of these. Every one of us were the least of these. Many, many times in Scripture, God admonished Israel to remember. Deuteronomy 15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord your God redeemed you. Ephesians 2, verse 12, remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, without hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have what? You have been brought near through the blood of Christ. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, who once were not the people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So what do these verses have to do with caring for the least of these? It's because what I mentioned a few minutes ago, our sanctification or our call to action, call to living, flows from our justification. Romans 12, 1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, what? In view of God's mercy, talking about Romans chapters 1 through 11, he goes on to talk about who we are in Christ, what the gospel is. And then finally in Romans 12, he tells us what we are to do. In view of God's mercy, offer your lives as living sacrifices. Ephesians 5:1 says, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. See, God wants us to love the stranger because we, every one of you, myself included, were strangers. God wants us to love the orphans, the fatherless, because the sin that we were born into made us orphans. I heard the story from a missionary telling the story of a blind man who had come to the mission hospital and through cataract surgery were able to receive his sight again. He left the hospital. The missionary said 3 days later he came back and he was pulling a rope. And on that rope were 23 other blind people that this man was bringing to the hospital for them to receive their sight again. See, maybe we read in the Bible of the sick, the need, the needy, the orphan, and we think, oh, those poor individuals, they have such a great need. But the paradox is, that was us before Christ. We are the least of these. So I was thinking about this sermon, adoption popped up in my mind. I'm just curious, for those of you who are here this morning, how many of you have been adopted? If you have been adopted, raise your hand. Okay? Great. A few hands. Let me read Ephesians 1, verse 3. It says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Let me go back and ask that question again. How many of you here this morning have been adopted? Great. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, we'll preach the gospel afterwards. You see, aren't we glad that adoption, caring for the orphan, is on God's heart? Because that was us. God has adopted us into his family. Dennis Rainey, who's the director of Family Life, said this. He said, could it be that the church needs the orphan as much as the orphan needs a family? He says, I think so, because it reminds us where we came from. So the Lord commands us to express his heart for the fatherless. Unbelievable joy is unlocked when we start caring for the least of these. So what are we to do with this knowledge of God? The last one, the last point today, enter the fields of the fatherless. Enter the fields of the fatherless. I hope that every one of us will walk away with an application point from this sermon. That God would lay something on your heart, my heart. What is the essence of Christianity? James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. To memorize the Westminster Confession of Faith. Is that what it says? It says to visit, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. What moved Jesus? Jesus was moved by seeing those in need. Matthew 9, it said, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, for they were harassed and helpless. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, for they were harassed and helpless. We like to think of ourselves as compassionate people. I like to think of myself as compassionate. Let me read a definition of compassion from Henry Nouwen. He said, the word compassion is derived from the Latin words which together mean to suffer with. Compassion asks us to go where it hurts, to enter into places of pain, to share in brokenness, fear, confusion and anguish. Compassion challenges us to cry out with those in misery, to mourn with those who are lonely, to weep with those in tears. Compassion requires us to be weak with the weak, vulnerable with the vulnerable, powerless with the powerless. Compassion means full immersion in the condition of man. The definition of compassion is involvement. Well, what would keep us from entering the fields of the fatherless? What would keep us from acting? First of all, maybe ignorance. Maybe this is the first time you have actually heard from Scripture that the orphans, the widows, the strangers are on the heart of God. You can't use that excuse anymore after today. The second one may just be indifference. Maybe you, like me, have heard this or read this numerous times and just conveniently have just overlooked it. Remember the sin of Sodom? It says they were unconcerned. Last one will be fear. That's mine. As I read this definition of compassion, I think, I sure don't want to be involved. I got enough messiness in my own life. Why would I want to enter into the world of somebody else who's hurting? Boy, am I grateful that God entered into my world to do that, to show compassion towards me. There's a cartoon of two turtles. One turtle says, "Sometimes I'd like to ask God why he allows poverty, famine, and injustice when he could do something about it." The other turtle says, "I'm afraid God might ask me the same question." Our church here, Oak Mountain Presbyterian, North Shelby County, it really is in a dangerous place. We live in an affluent suburb compared to world standards. We're actually a part of a denomination that was formed in part out of response to the previous denomination that was so focused on social justice that it began to overlook world evangelization. Here's the danger in our church. I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we're there as a denomination. But it could easily slip and fall on the other side of the horse. That if all we focus on is proper theology, even merely evangelism, and we don't care for the least of these, then we are just as guilty. So may God grant to us that we would exalt the preaching of God's word and that we would also care for the least of these. Is talk of caring for orphans merely social justice? Or is it godly justice motivated by grace? Well, how do we enter the fields of the fatherless? Here's where you pull out your pen. Here are the action steps. Let me give some suggestions. First of all, speak up for them. Speak up for them. The orphans themselves are silent. They don't have a voice. That's why God has called us to speak up for them. Pray. Plead with the Father. Pray for these 200,000 women in Bangkok. Pray that they would be delivered. Pray for families for these orphans. Be a part of the Oak Mountain ministry team. We really don't even have a ministry team. I just want to call a few people who God has placed this on your heart and say, let's get together and let's start praying. Let's start planning. So if God has placed this group of people on your heart already, please contact me or Mark Hunter. And we want to see people from our own church come together and start to be a voice for the orphan. Here's another step. Give an orphan your name. A little more costly. Adoption. Absolutely love Psalm 68:6. It says, God sets the solitary in families. God sets the lonely in families. Is that not a great picture of adoption? Of what God has done? God says, I will set this person that I care for in a family. 40% of Americans have thought about adoption. Only 3% have actually adopted. We talk a lot about being pro-life, which we should. We also should equally talk about pro-adoption. I do need to be careful here. Some of you have known that I adopted two girls from China. And so we're thinking, oh, Phil's just got the pulpit. He's just going to push his agenda. It's actually God's agenda, so I can push it a little bit. No, adoption should only be for those whom God leads you to adopt. Don't at all feel guilty if God hasn't placed that on your heart. But let me also say, I do believe that God has placed it on some of your heart. God calls some of us to actually physically adopt. But he calls all of us to be involved in the process. Adoption is not just for those who are unable to conceive. What about those of you who are here? You may have 1, 2, 3 birth children. Maybe there is an empty bedroom somewhere in your house. Maybe you do find yourself with the resources to bring one more into your home. Maybe God is using this sermon itself to affirm what he has been trying to speak to you over the last months or even years. Please consider adoption. Our good friends, Pat and Karen Eddins, are leaving on Tuesday. They are traveling to China, leaving behind 3 wonderful birth children because God has given them another daughter. And they will be traveling to China. And less than a week, maybe, they'll actually get to meet a daughter who has a Chinese name now. But in a week or so, she'll be known as Hadley Lou Eddins. God has placed it on their heart to give an orphan the name Eddins. For some of you, I pray that you would consider adoption, not just international. There are children in our state, children in our country that need to be adopted. Stephen Curtis Chapman is a Christian singer. He, around Christmas time, released an album. One of the songs on it was called All I Really Want. It's written from the angle of a child who is waiting for a family. Let me just read the words to you. All I really want for Christmas is someone to tuck me in, a shoulder to cry on if I lose, shoulders to ride on if I win. There's so much I could ask for, but there's just one thing I need. All I really want for Christmas is a family. Maybe if I had a brother or dad to wrestle with, maybe they could teach me how to get along. And from everything I've heard, it sounds like the greatest gift on earth would be a mom. All I want for Christmas is someone who will be here to sing me happy birthday for the next 100 years. And it's okay if they're not perfect or even if they're a little broken. That's all right, because so am I. Some of you have the opportunity to offer a family to a child. Please consider adoption. But for all of us, let's rally behind those who are considering it and help them with that. We have a great agency in town called Lifeline Christian Services. Contact them if God's placed this on your heart. Maybe start the process. And then the third call to action is to give sacrificially to the orphan. You got your Bibles, turn over to Deuteronomy 10. Actually, we were in Deuteronomy 10. Turn over to Deuteronomy 24. I want us all to look at this. I think it's on the screen too. Yep. Deuteronomy 10. I love how I'm just a practical person. God says, let's make caring for the fatherless very practical. So here's an example of it. Deuteronomy 24, verse 19. He says, when you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your tree, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Here comes the gospel again. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That's why I command you to do this. Great picture. The people harvest, the people harvest olives, the people harvest from the vine. And whatever is left over, God says, leave it. Don't go back and pick it up. That's my way of caring for the fatherless. It's my way of caring for those who are in need. So as a practical way, what the church is going to do here at Oak Mountain is we're going to start a ministry called COIN, the COIN ministry, caring for orphans in need. And what we're going to ask of you is that whatever pocket change that you have at your home, even now, whatever's in your pocket, as families, children, grab a bucket or something and start saving that pocket change. And then on Sundays, come and place it in one of these barrels that will be throughout the church. Every dime, every penny that's placed in that barrel is going to go to caring for orphans in need. For $30 a month in Uganda, India, China, we can give an orphan 3 meals a day, clothes, education, everything they need to survive. I don't know about you, but I mean, pocket change is everywhere. In my house, in my pocket. So just start making it a habit to collect that pocket change. Start bringing it in. That's what the scripture was talking about, those things that are left to the side. So make that a habit so that we can care for orphans in need. Very practical way. A couple other things. China. There's a team going to China in a few weeks. They're going to raise money for orphans. There's a table downstairs, a list of things that they're taking to work and actually to give to the orphans. Try to be a part of that. I know even in Yakima, Uganda, Belize, all these places we're going, the orphan will be visible. Give to those who are adopting, fostering children in their home. Support those who care for orphans. So through prayer, adoption, and sacrificial giving, we can find ourselves entering the fields of the fatherless. And I hope that every one of us realize this is what's on the heart of God. And God has unbelievable joy waiting for us as we start to do that. Not long before his death, Martin Luther King Jr. spoke to the congregation at Atlanta's Ebenezer Baptist Church. This is what he said. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. If you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I'd like somebody to mention on that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. In 10 days, I'm traveling with this group to China. 6 of those days, we're going to be working in an orphanage, holding 45 orphan boys and girls. And I already know what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold that boy or that girl, and I'm going to sing to him. I'm going to say, he knows your name. He knows every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears you when you call. That's what I think God, if he were to speak in the audible voice, would tell that child. Jason's saying of when love takes you in. As Christians, we have been taken in by God's love. And when love takes you in, you are no longer an orphan. So may you and I stop living like orphans in this world and believe that we have a Father who cares for us and will meet our needs. And when love takes you in, it also makes us want to care for orphans around the world. May God grant that to us.